All right, here we go. This is message number 3 in our series of Overcoming Anxiety, and we are talking today about creation. And we are going to start with this young lady. Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg. I never heard the name a year ago, I don't think, but many of you have probably heard of her now. She made a speech this last fall at the UN that caught a lot of people's attention. And it caught my attention. I listened very carefully to what she was saying. And one paragraph in particular really grabbed me. This is what she said. "You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?" I was taken back by her emotion as she said this. And in looking at it, I looked at it, what she said. Just take a look at it again. It's not that she's saying, "You are stealing my dreams and my childhood." Past tense, she said, they are stolen. They are gone. Now, whether you believe she should feel like that or not, I don't care at this point. What's important is she does feel like that. And she's not alone. A lot of young people feel exactly like that. That their life is sort of over before it begins. And I felt really sad for her. I couldn't imagine being a teenager and assuming that I will never be a grandparent. I might not even have the chance to be a parent. Again, we're not here debating about whether she should feel like that. That is the way she feels. In one study, amongst 500 U.S. preteens, now this is ages 6 to 11, one-third of them responded that they believe the world will not exist for them to reach adulthood because of global warming and the environment. Can you imagine? One-third of our kids, our grandkids, preteens, do not believe they will reach adulthood. Imagine the anxiety and the stress they are feeling right now. The kids in our homes, the grandkids, our nieces and nephews feeling this stress. The director of the Vancouver Anxiety Center, I didn't know there was a Vancouver Anxiety Center, Christine Carroll, said this. She says, "There's so much grim news out there, and it feels pretty hopeless. The reactions are anywhere from denial to we're all going to die, and sometimes not much in between." Two extreme reactions when it comes to the environment, when it comes to the climate. It's like, nope, not happening, or it's all over. Imagine if you're in the it's all over camp. Imagine the stress that you feel, the anxiety. And so as we go along, are you uncomfortable yet? As we go along in the Overcoming Anxiety series, this message, the cure for anxiety and creation, sounds pretty goofy. Because for a lot of people, they look at creation and it just creates anxiety. It creates worry and stress. People worrying about lost childhoods, broken promises, crushed dreams. And quite frankly, I'd probably feel the same if I thought the highest power for change in the world was innovation and cooperation of human beings on a global scale. If I thought that was the greatest power for change, I'd be pretty upset myself. There's a word, by the way, for this type of anxiety. This is so common today that it has its own word. It's eco-anxiety. No joke. Eco-anxiety. Kids in our schools are feeling eco-anxiety. I never had eco-anxiety in school. Never thought about it. Just assume the world would keep going on and on the way it's always been. And while eco-anxiety looks at the carelessness of humans in creation, Jesus is going to tell us that peace comes from looking at God's care in creation. So, we are going to dive in to what Jesus had to say. And Jesus does something that is so powerful. He gives us such a practical solution for peace through creation. It's almost so simple that it's almost never practiced. And his message to us will be, let creation calm you. For a lot of people, now you might look at that and you say, oh, of course, Jesus is probably going to suggest that we take a walk in the woods or climb a mountain or just experience creation. But peace ultimately requires a change in thinking, not a change in location. Ultimate peace requires a change in thinking, not a change in location. And my hope is that by the end of this message, you will have actual practical tools that'll help you experience the peace that Jesus promised. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about Jesus offered this gift of peace. My hope is that you will experience it more because you were here today and you apply what I'm about to tell you, because Jesus gives really step-by-step instructions here. And it comes with a surprise, by the way. It was a surprise for me. Let's dive in. Jesus starts off this section on his famous Sermon on the Mount, his most famous sermon found in Matthew. And he says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Good start, right? I'm glad he didn't just leave it at that. You ever tell someone who's hysterical to calm down? No, of course they get worse. I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't your life more than food and your body more than clothing? Now take a careful look that Jesus is broadening the topic out to not just physical things, but actual life. Isn't your life more than food? He's talking about big picture stuff. And this is one of the first things we may disagree with Jesus on, is what is life? You know, when people say, wow, this is living, they're probably not talking about the same thing Jesus is talking about. Because God's perspective on what is life and what our perspective on what is life are quite often different. And we're going to find that there's a number of things that we may find ourselves disagreeing with Jesus on. But anyway, he's talking about life. And there are two common worries, especially for the audience that Jesus had at the time, food and clothing. And we know that, for basic survival, you need food, you need clothing. I noticed he didn't mention the third one. Food, clothing, and shelter. And of course, he's preaching in Palestine, shelters, and, you know, it would have been really rich for a homeless guy like Jesus to be talking about how you need shelter. Clearly, he was not Canadian. Because even on the island here, it gets pretty uncomfortable at times, as some of you may have experienced this week. Well, you know, in our context, we may worry more about our paycheck or unpaid bills or accumulating debt or something like that. But Jesus is pointing to life, real life. And he's saying real life is not about these things. Because he's pointing to a truth that many of us don't think about, which is that we are souls. We are not bodies. Our bodies, they start wearing out from the moment they start. And some of you can attest to that, right? But your soul will live on. That is your life. That is your real life. And so, you know, when Jesus said he came to give life and to give it more abundantly, he didn't mean he came to give us coupons to buffet world. Because life isn't about food. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy food. Just want to point that out. So he continues on. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Since I have come to the island, I have been introduced to a number of different birds. I spent 4.5 decades in Alberta, and I come out to the island here, and I'm introduced to all kinds of birds I'd never seen before. And I think one of my newfound favorite birds is this critter. I love the Steller's Jay. I think this bird is so beautiful. I really do. And this picture, by the way, was taken by Jeannie Colton, who's one of our members here at Nanaimo Alliance. And she allowed me to share this picture of this little critter that she caught. And I just love how the blue is just so beautiful. And I love these birds, you know, especially when the sun shines on them just the right way. And I've been introduced to beautiful hummingbirds and great big bald eagles circling the sky. This is a beautiful place if you're a bird watcher, I'll tell you. And Jesus is saying, look at the birds. Now, you might have made a mistake in understanding what I just read there from what Jesus was saying. Because you might have heard this. You might have heard, look at the birds. Because Jesus feeds the birds, you'll be fed too. It's not what he said. You missed the whole point if that's what you read. He said, Jesus feeds the birds, and they're worth way less than you. This is, by the way, the second thing you may disagree with Jesus on. Because I realize, especially here on the island, that amongst us, there are those who would say, no, animals are worth just as much as we are. And I don't want you to get lost here at this point, okay? Hang on. It should not surprise us, once again, that God's values and our values may not line up. And we'll continue on here, okay? But he's saying, look, birds are not worth as much as you. He's contrasting, not comparing. And he's saying, if God takes the time to feed these birds, and I've watched these birds, by the way, they seem to have plenty to eat. He said, if God takes the time to feed these fat birds, surely he's going to take care of your needs too, because you are far more valuable to God than a bird. Far more valuable. God created human beings uniquely to be relational, to be self-aware, to be contemplative, to need a purpose, to be concerned about right and wrong, and to think about their destiny. Ultimately, to have a relationship with the Creator. That makes you unique. Made in the image of God. Only one creation is said to have been made in the image of God, and that is you. So when God looks at you, he sees incredible value. God provides for the animals, he will certainly provide for his prized possession, which is you. Now, there are times I've noticed in my life where I experience increased amounts of anxiety. Let me tell you about one of them. When something breaks down, car, house, something, I'm not a fixer-upper kind of guy, which means I'm going to have to pay one of you to come and bail me out. And there's a period in between where, say, the car starts making end-of-life sounds, and where someone tells me how much it's going to cost to fix it. That, to me, is the most stressful time. Once I know how much it costs, and I know, okay, if I pay this amount, this will all go away. Good. That period of time is when I'm most stressed out. I don't know if you can relate to that or not. But here's what I found out from what Jesus said. If Jesus could talk to me in an audible voice, in those moments, he'd say, Tracy, look at the birds. Look at the birds. I provide for them. But you are far more valuable. Won't I make sure that you have what you need? And then you know what? God would say the same thing to you. Birds, they look out at creation and they see abundance. They go, look at the buffet. But how often you and I look at our circumstances and we see scarcity. There's not going to be enough. Birds aren't stressed. Birds aren't stressed. And they're way down on the food chain. They're way down in the value chain. But God provides for them. So how much more will God provide for you? See, let creation calm you. Jesus moves on, and he asks this question we all already know the answer to, and we often forget about. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Yep, totally true. Can take away, as I've said before, you can worry yourself to death, but you cannot worry yourself to life. We already know the answer to this question, do we not? And yet, we seem to have to be reminded that all our stewing, all our sleepless nights, all our heartburn, all our nail biting, all our mind racing at 4 a.m. is not doing anything for us. It's accomplishing nothing. In fact, and one of the things that I didn't mention in the cost of anxiety last week is it steals us being fully present. I don't doubt that there are people here right now who are having a really hard time concentrating on anything I'm saying because they're so filled with worry. And it breaks my heart because I've been where you are. I've been there. I know. I know what it's like to not be fully present at a family event or at work or with your spouse or whatever because you're worried about something else. Some of you are experiencing that right now. Very, very sad. Once again, let creation calm you. And then now Jesus is going to change the subject. Away from birdies. He's going to move to this. And why worry about your clothing? Now, this is where this passage really threw me for a loop. Because for most of my adult life, and I won't say how much, most of my adult life, I just assume Jesus is talking about worry. First he talks about food, and then he talks about clothing. Again, basic needs, right? And so I'm thinking this is where he's going. He said, don't worry about your clothing. You know, God will take care of you. You'll stay nice and warm. It's all right. It's no big deal. And then he does something really bizarre. Do you know what he says next? He says, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. What? Does that not sound bizarre to you? They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. What just happened? I'll tell you what just happened. Jesus is not talking about warmth. Because if he was talking about warmth, he would have said, look at the bear. Look at the big fur coat that God gives the bear. If God gives the bear a big fur coat, how much more warmth is he going to give you? Right? But he says, look at the flowers. What? Look at the flowers? How is that supposed to help you? What does that have to do with clothing? For crying out loud. By the way, the lilies of the field really, literally translated is wildflowers. Look at the wildflowers and how they grow. And you'll notice he says exactly what his point is. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as, what's the word? Beautiful. It's not about provision of warmth. God is talking about your beauty. Your beauty. Now, that threw me for a loop. What in the world is going on here? Do you ever get frustrated with your own character? I'll tell you, I do. I think, God, how many decades in my life am I going to have to live with insecurity? How many examples of my selfishness do I have to go through before you fix this in me? And if you've ever had those thoughts, and it could be all kinds of different things that you get frustrated in. It could be, you know, you get frustrated with your gossiping or, you know, your anxiety or whatever it may be. And you say, how long, oh God, am I going to have to deal with this? And this is where Jesus is saying, hey, look at the flowers. I'll tell you a little story. This last summer, and this is the weirdest thing, I was in a hardware store with my wife, and we were looking around, and I saw this flower. And I'm not this guy, but I saw this flower, and I thought, this is amazing. I have to have this flower. So I bought this flower, and it's like a climber, and its name is a Passiflora caerulea, and I am sure that I just butchered that name. I don't know what the common name is, but I saw that flower, and I thought, I want to have that flower in my yard. Look at how beautiful that thing is. I thought it was beautiful. It's got texture. It's got different colors. It's a vine. It grows. So I went home, and I built a whole lattice thing. You know, when I say built, I mean... just want to be clear. Good luck, little flower. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And here's the point that Jesus is making. And he gets to it in the next sentence. He says, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Again, he's contrasting you to flowers. He's saying, look at how much care and attention he went through to make these flowers. God could have made all flowers beige. They would have been perfectly functional. The bees could have used them, you know, all that, perfectly functional, all beige. Instead, he made this wide array of beautiful flowers, many of which we get to see here on the island. And he says, if he takes so much care in making a flower beautiful, that is temporary, how much more care and attention is he going to take to make you beautiful? Because you are eternal. How do you feel? If you are anxious about your own character, Jesus is saying, look at the flowers. If you're wondering, God, why is this taking so long? Flowers don't pop up overnight, by the way. It takes time. It takes time. If you are frustrated with yourself, if you are anxious, look at the wildflowers. The stakes of your inner beauty, by the way, are high. They're higher than your outer beauty. Let creation calm you. He goes on and he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. This is, by the way, the third thing that we'd probably disagree with God on. What do you need? Because while we're worried about where my next meal is coming from and how can I wear clothes that make me look beautiful? God's more worried about what we need for life. Remember, that was Jesus' point. Isn't your life more than food and clothing? Isn't your life worth more than that? The first one, look at the wildflowers, was about provision. Or the birds, look, was about provision. The wildflowers was about perfection. God wants to provide for you, and He wants to perfect you. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus has freed all His followers from worries about provision and perfection through creation. So all these questions of how will I get what I need? Look to the birds. How do I look to others? Look at the wildflowers. And then Jesus goes on to a third step. And He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. There's that word again, by the way, need. We often have problems with God because we disagree on what we need. But seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom for yourself. See, Jesus knew 2,000 years before most psychologists would know that you don't erase a habit. Anxiety is a habit. It's a pattern in our minds. We have developed over time. Some of us are really good at it. You don't erase that habit. It has to be replaced. And here Jesus is giving us three steps, three clear instructions that will replace the habit of anxiety. Seek the kingdom. What does that mean? A lot of us, and I wish I had time, one day I hope I'll do a whole series on the kingdom because it is a big, big topic and so important. But for now, this is what a lot of us think of when we think of a kingdom. We think of a big Walt Disney castle in the midst of this valley, and we think the extent of the kingdom is geographic. That is where the kingdom is, and, you know, there's flags flapping in the wind, and a king there, and a queen, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. That's what a lot of us think when we think of kingdom. But that is not what God is talking about with kingdom. Kingdom, biblically, is wherever God reigns. Which is why the kingdom, He said, is in His followers, first of all. Because He's began to rule and reign inside of them. Every heart that is surrendered to Him is part of the kingdom. And the more we surrender the specific parts, the gossipy parts, the greedy parts, the lying parts, the prideful parts, the more the kingdom expands in us. Seek the kingdom. So when you pray, when you read His word, when you come to a message like this, the intent is that the kingdom would expand in each of us. That God would reign in more of us by the end than at the beginning. Seek the kingdom. If you find yourself getting anxious, seek the kingdom. Because anxiety means there's something in us that's not surrendered. Something we want to control that we have not handed over and said, God, let this be part of Your kingdom. This is now Your issue. You rule over that area. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's relationships. Whatever it may be. Whatever is causing us anxiety, may it be a trigger for us to seek the kingdom. And a mind, when we seek the kingdom, and God takes over these areas of our lives, we will find we will experience more and more of God's peace. Now, we're getting to the end, and I want to dig a little deeper on all of these things. What can we do? Remember, Jesus talked about our life and our needs. And He knows what we need. He knows that we need love, which Jesus was the most loving person that ever walked this planet, and it says He was filled with grace and truth. And for me, that has been the greatest definition of love that I've been working with. We love people when we are truthful with them and when we give them incredible grace. They do not compete with each other. Both of them have to be maxed. And on top of love, we needed a relationship with our Father. Keep that in mind. We need grace and truth and relationship. Let's go back at what Jesus just told us. What can we do? Look at the birds. I said this was about providing for our needs, but what is our greatest need? We need truth. We need truth in our lives. You need truth in your life. I need truth in my life. Which is why when Jesus often talked about food, he talked about it in such strange ways. He said, I am the bread of life. I will provide you with living water. Very different ways of looking at food. Because God knows what we need. We need truth. And that's why Jesus said the truth will set you free. When we're worried about provision, and maybe we are worried about real food, but God knows we need more than just bread. We need His truth. So He says, look at the birds. Look at how God provides for the birds. You are worth way more than a bird. God will provide the truth that you need in your life if you let Him. Look at the wildflowers. Look at how God beautifies these things that are so temporary. They're just here for a season, and then they're gone. How much more care will He take in making you beautiful like Jesus? This is grace. This is God's grace in our lives. He takes the time to perfect you, to shape you, to be like Christ, and to be who He designed you to be. Because we're not all meant to look the same. He wants us to have the character of Christ and the personality of you. Isn't that wonderful? And if you are ever worried about your character, if you're ever frustrated with yourself, just look at the wildflowers. God took His time and made them gorgeous. How much more will He take the time to make you beautiful because you are an eternal being? So God gives us truth in provision. He gives us grace in beautification. And then He says, seek the kingdom, because in that is relationship. That is what He's offering. If you go back to what He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. You know what that means? To live righteously? To live righteously means to live in a right relationship with God. Live righteously. Seek the kingdom. Let His rulership expand in your heart and live in right relationship with Him. And you will experience relationship because that's what you need. Look at the birds. You get truth. You get what you need, that provision. Look at the wildflowers. You get beautification. You get grace. You get truth, grace, and then seek the kingdom. That's relationship. And all these things are calming. If you look at the birds, look at the wildflowers, and seek the kingdom, this is a recipe for peace. Another way of looking at it is the kingdom is where Christ is trusted, which is why He said, "Don't you?" How did He say it? Said something about faith. Where was it? Oh yeah. Why do you have so little faith? Why do you have so little trust? Faith is just another word for trust. Why do you have so little trust? Trust Me. And wherever you trust Jesus, that's the kingdom. Nature has many sources for anxiety. When you look at what humans have done. But nature can provide much peace when you look at what God is doing now. So I dare you. Develop a new habit. I have tried this. This is wonderful, by the way. When you look at the birds, but don't just admire their beauty. Think about what God said about the birds. How He provided for them. How much more will He provide for you? Oh man, that's peaceful. Look at the flowers. How much God made them beautiful, how much more is He going to make you beautiful? And then seek the kingdom in that relationship. Because God knows we need truth, we need grace, and we need relationship. Let creation calm you. And maybe you've never taken that step. Maybe you have never taken that step to say, God, I want you to rule over me. I want to follow you. I believe Jesus died on a cross for me, for my sin. And I know that there are people in this room and people listening to this online. Hello, all of you online, by the way, who have never made that step. So here's a little prayer that you can pray. It goes something like this. It's very simple. Lord, may you be king of me. I give all I am to you. I trust that Jesus provided my citizenship in the kingdom. That's it. Three sentences. I'll give them to you again. Lord, may you be king of me. I give all I am to you, and I trust that Jesus provided my citizenship in the kingdom. If you pray that prayer sincerely in your heart, you begin a new relationship. And these things that I have said about watching the birds and looking at the wildflowers and seeking the kingdom can now be yours, and the peace that God offers, the peace that Jesus promised, can be yours. No longer do you need to experience eco-anxiety. You can experience eco-peace. You heard it here first. Anytime someone says that from now on, they owe me a dollar. Eco-peace. Don't let creation alarm you. Let creation calm you. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Seek the kingdom. Begin a new habit in your mind. Begin a new habit. Become bird watchers and flower lovers and seek the kingdom. The music team's going to come on up and they're going to sing us a song about creation. And it's going to be a special number. And I just want you to take the opportunity to ask God about the areas of your life that are not surrendered, that are not part of His kingdom. Seek the kingdom in those things. Let creation calm you today. It's my hope. Do you hear the voice of God right now? Just listen. Just listen. Do you hear Him calling you to trust Him? In an area of life that you have held for so long, it's caused you so much anxiety. Do you hear Him telling you, trust me. Trust me. Let that go, church. Let that go. Trust Him. Maybe you've been worried about provision in your life. Trust Him. Maybe you've been worried about your character and how people see you. Trust Him in that. But in all these things, seek the kingdom, that He would rule and reign over every part of who you are. Let's pray. First of all, God, we want to praise you because you know what life is truly about. Not our limited perspective. You really know our life in its entirety. And you also know what we need far beyond what we think we need. You know what we actually need. Lord, I pray for all the people who are listening to this right now, that when we have anxious moments, anxious thoughts, you would give us the grace to look at the birds and remember how you have provided us the truth. You have provided us with everything we truly need. You are the bread from heaven. You are the living water, our King. And Lord, help us to look at the flowers and remember how much care you took in perfecting them, in making them beautiful. And to remember you are doing the same with us, with even greater care, because you know that we are eternal and not just temporary beings. Lord, may we look at the birds, look at the wildflowers, and may we seek your kingdom. May we be the worshipers that you've called us to be, where we surrender every part of ourselves to you. God, may all our anxious moments trigger us to look at the birds, look at the flowers, and seek the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you have freed us from anxiety because of what Jesus did on the cross, that we could have provision, perfection, and relationship. Everything that we need, truth, grace, and relationship. We praise you, God, and thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything, please come on up. There'll be some people up here to pray with you. In 10 minutes, they'll move over to the Newcastle room if you prefer something a little more private. Other than that, God bless you. Have a wonderful week.